Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, April 15th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 50, paragraph 4, and that begins with, "Here are thousands." Today's readers are Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Donna W. for the 12 Traditions, Jan R. and Dion R. Mary B. will be on the line to welcome newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors, and Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements today. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, Wednesday, April 14th, is 16760. That's 16,760. And the reference number for this morning's meeting, April 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 16786, 16,786. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover, yay, through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Terry H. from Stormy, Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and for the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much for your service, Terry H. And I will now ask Donna W. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Donna W. checking in from California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, never ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a nice quiet meeting, everyone's phone should, except the speakers, should be muted using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 50, paragraph 4. Begins with, here are thousands, and I will ask Jana R. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Jana R., recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude toward that power, and to do certain simple things, there has been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, they show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. They show how the change came over them. When many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. Wow, that's a doozy. And boy, many things leap at me today. This reading takes me right back to when I first came into OA. I've been in the room since 04. I've been recovered a little over a year. And when I first came in, I'm one of those that did come in with a higher power, whom I called God. And I didn't know I had a disease. That was a big part of my problem. I thought I had to will myself into this body that I could never attain, always battling my weight, always trying to undo it with compulsive this, compulsive that, including exercise, and I'm feeling the effects of that today as I'm about to turn 55. But today I give thanks that I have this neutrality that I never dreamed was possible for me. And I, like perhaps a lot of people, when I came into the OA rooms, I heard and I fully embraced that abstinence was the most important thing in my life. And what that did was help to keep me in diet mentality for years. I had a God who I believed was love, but I didn't have an understanding of that God that included enough care and enough power to relieve me of my insanity. And the problem was I was projecting all my humanness onto this God. So I'm judgmental. My God was judgmental. I'm not good enough. God surely didn't see me as good enough, that I just wasn't measuring up. I didn't think God cared enough. So I always talk about how through the 12 steps, my image of God was healed. And I'm sorry, I didn't set my timer, so just let me know. And I had to get my God out of the clouds. When I was a kid in my bedroom, my window was off to the right. So I always imagined God out that window, up there, kind of unreachable. But I had to get an understanding of the truth of my God, who is, there is a weakness in my God, meaning vulnerability. And my God is not up or out. It's right here, right now, inside of me, under, above, beside me, always. And now I know I have a disease and that this power wants me to have a joyful life and to be of use. So the big change that came over me, it did happen because I was in these rooms and I heard the solution. I came into the vision meeting a few years ago and I started hearing something that I did not yet have, that I wanted. And God had prepared me for the next frontier of my freedom. That's how I look at it. My whole OA journey has been in service to my recovery. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. So this newfound state came through working the 12 steps abstinently with a guide, and I had a new willingness, and all of a sudden I have neutrality. So
gentle
I'm
reminder.
Reminded that, oh, thank you. I'm reminded this is not about the food or my body. It's about a relationship with the God who loves me and wants me whole, and I celebrate that with all of you today. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jana R. So we're celebrating. Yay! Although we value your experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared yet this week and you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Cheryl G. I'd like to share.
Cheryl G. Okay.
Terry S.
Anybody else? We're going to do a gentle start here with Cheryl G. and Terry S. Hey, Cheryl, would you please let us
Laura
know
K. Calling
from? Oh, Laura K. There we go. Okay, let's start with Cheryl J. Please tell us where you're calling from, Cheryl.
Hi, it's Cheryl G, and I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Thank you.
I've been in program now for 6 years, and I'm fairly new to these phone type meetings. Usually I attend Zoom meetings in my area, but I definitely liked this paragraph today. As I told you guys, I've been in program now for 6 years, and I don't remember when the change in me relying on the God of my understanding occurred. Usually I write those things down, but in this paragraph that we read today, I underlined most of it, and I wrote in the margins what I was feeling. They now needed to deal with life on life's terms and not react to life's stresses. This is the start of the promises coming true for me. You make a conscious decision to change for the better, to stay in recovery one day at a time. And I definitely have experienced this type of this type of change. When I first came into program, I felt very lost and confused and less than a human being. And through the grace of our program and through sharing with friends in program, I've changed my life. And I now rely on the God of my understanding on a fairly regular basis. So and that's the miraculous thing about our program today. Yes, I've lost some weight in program, but that doesn't compare to the emotional change that has occurred in me over the past 6 years. And anybody that knew me from the very beginning of program can attest to that change in me today. So thank you for letting me share, and I now pass.
Thank you very much, Cheryl G. from Massachusetts. And Terry S., you're up next, followed by Laura K.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon, and I'm a recovering food addict. This paragraph is so meaty, it's overwhelming to even think about what to share. But today, what stood out for me was on the top of page 51, the sentence, "Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory." And that question, that just screams to me of step one. It's the second half of step one. When I leave aside the eating, the food, the addiction question, I can tell you why living was so unmanageable. And in my addiction, I didn't really think life was so unmanageable. I understood the unmanageability issue, but I didn't realize how pervasive it is. That I'm using the food to self-medicate, that I'm using the food to numb myself out because I am so overwhelmed with everything in life that I'm overreacting to, I'm trying to control. Self-reliance with a capital S, no dependence on a higher power. I will get through this. I'll pull myself up by my bootstraps. Thank you very much. And this is in program. I'm sad to say. I'm a hardcore addict when it comes to the food and trying to use it to numb out. So the hope I get in this paragraph is watching the people in 12-step programs, in OA, on the vision line, and hearing the recovery that's possible, hearing people's, you know, since we're on phone and Zoom, looking at their faces change, looking at their tone of voice change. The presence of that higher power in all of us is such an incredible healing that can happen. And I'm watching that happen in my own life. I'm not overreacting as much. I'm not trying to control everything around me as much. And there's such a beauty in the recovery in these rooms that I'm so grateful to be part of.
Thank you, reminder.
Thank you. I just encourage anybody out there that's struggling to keep coming back. The answers are here. The solution is this book. It's these steps. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Terry S.
Laura K., you're up next, and after Laura shares, we'll take another lineup on people who would like to comment on page 50, paragraph 4, which begins with, "Here are thousands." Please go ahead, Laura K.
Okay, thank you. I'm Laura K. I am a recovering compulsive overeater from Northern California. Oh, boy. This is probably one of my favorite paragraphs, especially in this chapter. What I read was absolute despair that has been turned into absolute hope and absolute joy, which has been my story. I came into program about 4 years ago. I had just had bariatric surgery, and I was doing it because I knew that there might be a time when I would have to think about what I was eating instead of just having my stomach say, "You don't want this," because I was finding out that that wasn't the case. I was still craving foods that I thought would poof, disappear. And then 2020 hit, and it was such a year. Last year was really, really hard. I found that I was living life on the edge. I was looking in with depression, feelings of failure and inadequacy. I didn't understand why, but that's what I was feeling. I was scared to death of everything. And then I started attending the Zoom programs. And because I withdrew for a little while, things were just so scary. I was going to work and I was not being myself. I just did the bare minimum. And so I showed back up into these programs and started on Zoom and just felt what I needed. And I asked a sponsor, I asked a person I've known to sponsor me, and she told me there were some things I needed to do. Was I willing to do them? One was listen to A Visions for You. And I said, absolutely. And that is when my life changed, literally. Listening to this program, I've been listening since January of this year. One good decision led to another, to another, to another, and to another. I was willing to understand what my higher who, my who, and what my higher power was. He loved me, not just from the outside, but from the inside. And if I gave him my food addiction, he would help me. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's just turned me around. Now I have a passion to learn about diabetes. I've hidden from it for 14 years. Now I want to learn. I want to learn how to eat right so that I live. And I live life fully now. And it's because of A Vision for You and my higher power. Oh. For those of you who are struggling, this is the place, this is the time, this is the moment. I absolutely encourage you to give this program a shot. Thank you, and I appreciate your service, and I appreciate you letting me be of service and speak my truth. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Laura Kay. Thank you very much. Okay. So if you, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you have not shared this week and would like to comment on page 50, paragraph 4, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Sherry K. B.
Hi. Britt C.
Sherry K. B.
Terry P.
Britt C.
V.
Oh, V as in Victor. Okay.
Yeah.
Terry
Danielle,
P.
Danielle O.
I heard Terry P. and somebody.
Danielle O.
Danielle O.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Robin B.
Robin B.
let me tell you who I have so far. Sherry KB, Britt V, Terry P, Danielle O, Jordan L, and Robin B, I believe it was. Let's stop here, and we'll take this one up, and then we'll have time for a few more shares. Okay, Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Britt V.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and Team Thursday. This paragraph is so chock full. It's hard to get to everything. When I think about the revolutionary change in the way that I live and think, it is very drastic because I ran the Sherry Show for so many years, and I still once in a while, no, I won't say more than once in a while, try to, but I catch myself, and it's so different for me because I can see where when I'm not having a good day, it's because I'm trying to run the Sherry Show. And when I turn anything over to God, it always is better than anything I could ever come up with. So I've actually, you know, I live in 10, 11, and 12. I'm actually back in the steps again. And, you know, God's got to be everything for me, or God isn't. What is my choice to be? And that's very revolutionary for me, for somebody like me. And when I've realized I haven't had a good day, I'm like, well, how many times did you check in with God today, Sherry? Did you ask God for direction? You know, God solves all my problems, and it talks about this new power and peace and happiness. This is an example. This just happened for me. I am very afraid of shots. I had bad experiences as a kid growing up with doctors and so forth, and my husband's been on me about getting the COVID test, COVID vaccine, and I didn't want to go because I'm a chicken. And, you know, I prayed on it, and something came over me that removed my fear. And I went and did it yesterday. And I could not believe that I wasn't in fear. I couldn't believe how calm and peaceful I felt. I know that was God. That was definitely not me. And that blew my mind. It really did. I have to tell you, it really blew my mind. And getting back to the requirements, if you look on page 13 at the bottom paragraph 5, it talks about creating a relationship with my Creator and the way in which I live, and that my higher power will answer all my problems, and that I need to establish a new way of living in order meaning that God's got to come first in everything for me, and that I had to let go of that self-will and that defiance and that pride and ego because it doesn't work for me. And I never knew that because I was too busy stuffing any kind of feeling down at all. And because of not doing that anymore, the food's been down. I'm amazed at how my life is changing due to my higher power. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB, right on the button. Britt D, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Terry P. Please go ahead, Britt.
Hi, my name is Britt V. I'm in New Mexico. This was a very powerful reading. There definitely has been a revolutionary change in my way of living and thinking. I've started listening to A Vision for You in 2020, in February. Yeah, early February 2020. And I had been in and out of OA for many, many years. But this was the first community of OA that I had ever encountered where the 12 steps and the big book are treated as a text. And that's been really instrumental in my own revolutionary change. It's really nice. There's a spiritual group that I'm a part of, and they asked us this week, what did you gain from the pandemic? And I thought about it. Because of A Vision for You, one of the things that I have gained is a daily living in the 10, 11, and 12, but this daily practice of meditation and prayer that we are called to engage in, it's really transformed my life. And I have a much better relationship with my higher power, with the God of my understanding, than I did before. Because of childhood trauma, I always have lived very distrustful of God, loved God, but didn't trust God. And a vision for you, and just really studying the big book and really immersing myself in meditation and prayer has helped me enormously. I have been abstinent now for more than a year, and I'm very frustrated by how slow my weight loss has been going. But I know that if I focus on this power that is greater than myself, and I take that good attitude toward that power, that I do what's required of me and live in 10, 11, and 12, I know that I'll get there. I just have to be patient. I'm really grateful for all of you and for this group. Thank you so very much. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Britt V. Okay, Terry P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Danelle O. Please go ahead, Terry.
Hi there. This is Terry P. from California. Yeah, great meeting. So I found visions last month, and I'm really grateful that we're reading, you know, this chapter, The Agnostics. It comes at a really good time because if I don't put my ego and all that stuff aside, well, then I need something to lean on, and the higher power is what I need to lean on and to tap into. And I'm used to taking control, and that's not working anymore, you know. And when it says, you know, why living was so unsatisfactory, I'm finding out now that I'm like, I don't know, I'm only 13 or 14 days without the alcoholic foods or whatever. I'm finding more out why I was, you know, eating the way I was eating. And, but I do know that one sentence when it says, we're able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives. Well, food has been the most important fact of my life for I don't know how long. And so there's a lot of hope in hearing everybody's shares, because I know I need to lean on a higher power, because if I don't, I won't get through this day. So I'm just really, really grateful for everybody, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry P. in California. Appreciate that. Danielle, you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Please go ahead, Danielle.
Thank you. Hi, and good morning, everyone. My name is Danielle O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern New York. And when I say Northern New York, I mean Plattsburgh, New York. Got a little history on the big book. And, you know, when I look back at when I first got abstinent, that was in 2008, and I have not had back-to-back abstinence since then. But back then, the reason why I came in was because I was very fearful of my health and what was happening to me. And I saw the results of me being out of control. Food was just being shoveled into my mouth, left and right. I was diabetic, and I had neuropathy in my feet, and I couldn't feel my feet. And then when I did, they hurt constantly. And there was no one else to blame. As much as I wanted to fire both the doctors that told me, if you don't lose the weight, we're putting you on medication. And I thought to myself, well, then you're fired. And then I got to the second doctor, said the same thing. And I'm like, well, hold on here. Then I think I am the problem. And that was the only reason I started showing up for OA, because I thought, well, the 12 steps worked before in my life with other things, then maybe it could work that now for me. And it did. But it also took losing the weight in OA for me to look at some things that I wasn't doing so well. And I lost over 100 pounds. And you know, when I look back at it, when I first came, I did it out of fear. And fear did not keep me from going back out. It didn't, because I got better. I didn't have neuropathy anymore. I had reversed type 2. I'd done all these things. I. And I'm realizing now that it wasn't I that did it. It was the grace of God that helped me with that. But I would not give credit where credit was due. Now that I'm back in OA and with vision, yeah, the weight's coming off, but that's not what's important. To me, my relationship with God is what's important. Because I knew what I did before. I knew why I came in. I knew what was happening. But for the grace of God, you know, I know what happened. So I'm glad that I'm here and hearing all everyone's experience, strength, and hope this morning, because with that, it comes some humbleness in my own story, because I know what I ran up against. And, you know, left to my own devices and my ego and the way I like to do things, I get myself in trouble. And I went back out. I've only been back in with vision since January, and it's been great. But it's only because I give credit where credit is due, and that is with the God of my understanding. So I thank you for listening. I appreciate it. That's all. Pass.
Thanks so much, Danielle O. Jordan L., you are up next, followed by Robin B.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. good morning, Vision. My name's Jordan now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. I love this paragraph. It's one of my favorite because of the language. I'm kind of like Bill. I tend to be dramatic and I like the dramatic language in this paragraph. The seeming futility of existence and the underlying reasons and the heavy going of life. and they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. Because I feel like it captures that sort of like self-pity and morbid reflection that I came in here with. Like that was like my way of life, you know. I didn't know it, mind you. Like I didn't realize this. It's hard to see that you're in disease when you're in disease, you know. Like that's why it is that we can go on for years and years and years living like that, man. You know. But for whatever reason, I got a moment of clarity and I saw that, I realized that, that my living was unsatisfactory, you know, like it's the second half of that first step. Life is unmanageable, no matter what I do, and so when I walk in here and I hear other people talking about the change that came over them, I hear them talking about this spiritual experience or a psychic change, you know? Like, I'm just like, whoa, man, that sounds like a miracle, you know? and I, like, by the time when I had gotten here, I realized that it was going to take a miracle in order to keep me abstinent. That I was in it for the long haul, and it was really going to take like a different way of life because I was so self-reliant and I wanted to do it myself. I didn't want to have other people involved in it. I didn't want to let a sponsor in on what was going on, you know, like I didn't want that. So I needed that. I needed to hear how many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact in their lives. Because then by the time I got to a year abstinent and I'm looking around me, And I'm like happy, joyous, and free without food for the first time in my entire life. And I'm looking around me and I'm like, damn, dude, I got the same job, I got the same car, I got the same boyfriend, all this other stuff is the same, but I'm happy, joyous, and free. Like I realize that I've had that spiritual experience too, and it's awesome. So thank you for letting me share. I hope everyone sticks around to see that for themselves. That's all I got.
I hope so too, Jordan. Thank you very much for your share. Okay, Robin B. is up next, and then we'll have time for just a couple more shares on page 50, paragraph 4, which begins with, here are thousands. Please go ahead, Robin B., and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Thank you. This is Robin B., and I'm calling from beautiful Southern California. And this is what struck me in the paragraph. Oh, crap. A couple deep breaths here. I'm going to cry. Shoot. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. Sorry. Anyway, I have 2 days of abstinence, so everything's raw. And I have a quick story. I started a new therapy, something that's been around since the 90s, but I just learned of it because my therapist fired me. And she said, I'm not helping you, and I think you're getting worse. So that was definitely a God move because that's never happened to me before. And I've been in therapy since I was 15, and I'm 58. So I was referred to this one therapist, and she was having, you know, COVID problems related and things, and she was going to take me and then couldn't, and so I looked for somebody myself, and I found her, and I have always had, I've been in program, I came into program, truly, I walked in the doors in 1992 and thought y'all were crazy, but then I came back in 93 out of desperation, and thank God I had alcoholics that were recovered in my life, and I had one go with me, take me to a meeting, an OA meeting, and from there I had almost 2 years of abstinence, and then I relapsed, and I've been on and off, on and off, on and off, in and out, all these years, like 25 years, but now, all of a sudden, things were getting, I'm a caretaker, my mother's 97, she'll be 98 in June, and she lives with me, and she has a little dementia, and it's just, you know, that and my whole life, and I could not seem to really grasp that sugar was, for me, just as addictive as any other substance that I ever did, and so I was on and off of that, too, and then recently, as I've been making strides, I got really bad into the sugar, and so I turned very nasty and grumpy and mean and raging. And so, wow. I was like, well, okay. So I shared things with my therapist that I've never shared with anyone in my entire life, which was always a problem because I've always had issues with sponsorship. So now, okay, thank you. In the last few days, I've found my higher power and I'm just holding that close to me. And this whole group, this paragraph, everything is great as far as bringing me back to my faith. And I thank you all, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin B. Glad you're here and glad you shared. Okay, we have time for two more shares. Press star 1 to unmute. Let me know if you have not shared this week so we give other people a chance to share their experience, strength, and hope.
Jody.
Okay. I think I heard somebody R and somebody G. Could we have those first names again, please?
Laura R.
Laura R.
Alice G.
And Alice G. Okay, Laura R., please go ahead. Thank you so much. And sorry, Jody, we couldn't fit you in.
Good morning. Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Grateful to be on this meeting. And yes, like everyone's saying, this paragraph is just off the charts. I love it so much. My life was heavy going. And I love what Jordan shared. I did not know it. I did not know it until I got into program. I mean, I really thought my stuff didn't stink. And so, yeah, like, thank God for food being a big, you know, being a persuader of moving me in this direction. Actually, for me, it all started with my alcoholism. But once I got into AA is when I realized that my life was a mess. But that's when my journey started in recovery. So through recovery until I put down the food, and it's so baffling to me that I did these steps 17 years over and over and over and over and over again, and really did not have freedom until this last year. And it's when every single thing went down. So it's so trippy when you think, was I recovered? Well, you know, I was not drinking anymore and I wasn't using anymore. But I was still using so many different things in the place of God. I worshiped a lot. And once this last year, everything went down, the caffeine was the last to go, everything changed, you know, everything changed. And that's why I kept coming back. I was like, wait a second, I know it can be better than this. Like, I'm still having trouble with my personal relationships. I still can't control my emotional nature 16 years sober. What the hell is going on? You know, and all of a sudden this last year, putting every single thing down, like everything, you know, it's like I have catapulted in what they say is the fourth dimension. You know, I totally can tap into that sixth sense. It is unbelievable. You know, if you're new and you are hanging on to anything, let it go. I remember Kim G said, Laura, how free do you want to be? And at that moment, I really didn't want to be free. It was just too scary. But it is so worth it. I mean, right now I'm walking through something so big and it's not easy. And it's just like, I feel like I'm in the big leagues of the sobriety and abstinence thing. You know, it's like, okay, God, I have to be on my knees and your world, not mine. And I think it was Sherry that shared earlier, the Sherry show. Like I was like, oop, okay, I could feel it. I'm in the Laura show today. Okay, God, your world, not mine. God is everything or else he is nothing. God, I love this program. You know, and I'm in the pain, but I know that I have a solution today. And, I don't know. With that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being on this meeting with me and walking this journey one day at a time. Bye.
Thank you so much, Laura R. And Alice G., please go ahead.
Good morning. Alice G., recovering compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. There's a lot in this paragraph. I just have made a commitment to myself to start sharing on the meeting. And I know when I came in, I thought I was ready, and it took me years of those last beautiful bites to get to the point of admitting the collapse and despair and the failure of my human resources. Before I got abstinent, I just hated myself, you know. I hated myself. I hated everybody around me. I was mean. I was not a nice person to be around. And I'm so grateful today that since I started putting my food in the cup and on the scale, that some of that has been removed. You know, I feel like God has lifted that merciless obsession from me today, and I do have power, peace, and happiness and a sense of direction that I've never had before. But it took surrender. It took me being on my knees with my hands in the air, calling my sponsor and being like, what should I do? And when I was able to surrender and start weighing every single thing and measure every single thing and watching what went in my mouth, you know, scales fell from my eyes, and I was able to be open and willing to do these things, that these few simple requirements, you know, work the steps. I don't have to be confused and baffled anymore. I have a tribe of women that I can call when I have doubt come in, and doubt does come in, and anxiousness and fear and remorse and, you know, flashes of anger. And I have tools today to use to alleviate that kind of stuff, because I'm still suffering from the human condition. But I have a presence of God today that is the most important fact in my life, and it is a really powerful, powerful thing. And the tribe I walk with has that too. We all have that. We just have to be willing, I think, and take the right action. Because what I've heard is willingness without action is just a fantasy. And I believe that. I tried to pray for the willingness. I wanted to want to be abstinent, but until I could get to that point of desperation, I wasn't ready. So I'm really grateful today to have this program and you guys out there. And thank you for listening. And thanks for being there for me. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alice G., and everybody who has shared today. Fabulous meeting. Thank you all. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dion R., will you please read A Vision for You for us?
Yes, I will. Good morning, all. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Excuse me. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I pass.